Happy New Year, everyone. I'm so happy you've joined us today on the Sondra Hearthstone Show. Well, it's a new year, and I know that you're like me. We're really praying and believing for some awesome things to happen this year and to see the kingdom of God moving in our country. Hey, before we get going, I just want to mention that Hearthstone Network is a place with a lot of great content, a lot of true stories, movies, feature documentaries, inspirational shorts, teachings. Some of your favorite people are on there, like Lance Wallnau, Mario Marilla, Heidi Baker, and many others. So I hope you'll check it out. That's HearthstoneNetwork.com. You know, I've been thinking there's so much troubling news coming our way every day and from so many directions. It's honestly sometimes hard to process it all. So to that end, I have invited some world-shaking women to join me today as we talk through and process a few of these topics that I don't think many of us ever saw coming, like people walking away from church in huge numbers. I'm talking about like 1 million people a year. And the latest from the CDC, teachers being assessed for their LGBTQ friendliness to teach their students. I'm going to introduce you to these powerful women who are out making a difference by praying for government officials, prophesying, spiritual mapping, and even trying to stop hate groups. You're going to meet them, and we are going to tackle these issues today.
Hi, friends. Dr. Mark Sherwood here.
And I'm Dr. Michelle Sherwood.
Not everyone can make an appointment with us, but you can receive many of the same educational benefits our patients receive through our most comprehensive course, Health Secrets Exposed.
Modern healthcare, or should we say sick care, is more focused on profit than your health. And in this course, you'll discover what sick care has been keeping from you all along.
Here's a hint. You don't need more medication.
You need the simple truths in this course to unlock optimal health. Health Secrets Exposed is usually $149. Now it's just $99 with your promo code. It's time for you to learn what Big Pharma doesn't want you to know. Get access to this course now at Sherwood.tv.
Welcome back. Let me introduce you to my friends. They've all been guests on our show before, but this is the first time we've all been together. Let me start with Harriet Mutagwaraba. Harriet has an incredible story. She's a survivor of the Rwanda genocide and author of the book, By All Means Necessary. Harriet, tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, I'm from Rwanda, like you said. I've been here since 2008, born and raised in Africa. Texas, U.S. is my country now. It's my adopted country. And I'm just glad to be here and share with you what God put in my heart today.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you have to say because you have such an unusual perspective to come from. Next, we have my old friend, Darla Ryden. Darla is a prophetess, an intercessor. She is a member of the Texas Apostolic Prayer Network and a spiritual mapper, and she is very passionate about all of that. Darla, give us a taste of who you are.
Yeah, thank you, Sondra. I'm so happy to be here today. And yes, I am just excited about what God is doing. I know so much of what we're seeing is it is so easy to get people to be, you know, disheartened at what's happening, but God is really on the move. And it is an Amen. Exciting time to be alive. You have to have the darkness so the light shines brighter. So I'm excited about what we're talking about today. And thank you for letting me be a part.
Awesome. And Lindy Ann Hopley is a new friend of mine. She is actually originally from South Africa. Now, Lindy Ann, I would say you are a mover, a shaker, a prophetess, an evangelist, a preacher, an overall ball of fire. Tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you so much. Honored to be here with everyone. I'm the founder of Beautiful Witness Ministries, and really it is about seeing the beautiful witness of Jesus Christ getting his full reward here on earth as it is in heaven. I've been called to revival, traveled 34 countries, signs, wonders, miracles, great commission here and now. And in this hour, I am pretty much a missionary to America because this is really where I believe, and God has shown me this prophetically through dreams, that God wants to pour out his spirit like never before. And it's not going to just impact America. Because selfish as I am, I'm here for the sake of the world. God said that there will be a worldwide revival, but I believe that this is the tipping point right now, and we have to do something.
Amen to that. Woo! Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we begin with the question, why are so many people leaving the church? According to a 2021 survey, 31% of Americans never attend church or synagogue, and that's compared to 22% who attend every week. For the first time in our country's history, church attendance has fallen below 50%, and it was 70% up until 2000. Pollster George Barna estimates the number of unchurched Americans is growing by about 1 million people each year. But the good news is, over 60% of these unchurched are interested in spiritual matters. They are simply not going to church to feed their interest. They aren't all walking away from God, just church. Research shows that many are finding the church irrelevant. And that is so sad. And you know, COVID came, and we all know the church has not bounced back for that. Who wants to dive in on this issue?
I'd love to start.
Go for it, Darla.
This is definitely a passion of mine. It is within the last couple of years, the Lord is really beginning to bring us back to the truth of what the kingdom is. When Jesus was here, he spoke about the kingdom over 100 times, and he spent probably, once he was resurrected and came back, he reiterated that again, what the kingdom was. And even in that, the disciples were still trying to say, hey, are we going to establish a natural kingdom? Is that what you're going to do? And it was like, no, it has nothing to do with what we see in the natural. It was a kingdom dynamic that I really believe, are going back to. Because what's happened with the church, and most of us, y'all two gals are a little bit younger, Harriet and Lindy Ann, we were brought up to believe that the church was the kingdom. And that was
exactly a
synonymous statement.
That's true.
And it isn't. The church is only relevant if it is promoting the kingdom and bringing forth that which brings forth power and demonstration and salvation. I mean, even in salvation itself, that wasn't Jesus's end result. He didn't have a, prayer that everyone was to pray. He gave us a mandate to occupy. And so
I
think
that's true. He talks about the kingdom all the time, and he only talked about getting born again one time.
Exactly.
And, go ahead, Darla.
Well, anyway, let me just finish that up. But in saying that, I think what we're seeing here with the church is the religion of what the church is falling apart. And it's the most beautiful thing to watch it fall apart, because what's about to happen is the demonstration of power.
Come
and
on.
The truth of who Jesus Christ really is, because y'all, it's always been about him, and somehow we've made it about us. And he's coming back to be the word in flesh coming out of you and I and demonstrating like never before. And this next generation and the children to come are going to desire, I'll stop, I'm so sorry, but are going to desire what we have and the light that we're shining, because it's something worth having. It's quality, and it's Jesus.
That's so true. Now, yeah. Lindy Ann, you travel around to a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing what these surveys are showing, that the church lacks power?
It's so bizarre, because I can totally relate. I grew up saying I never want to be a Christian, because Jesus appeared through the image that the church was presenting so boring or dead or a bunch of nonsense that someone made up. And I got impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit, where I started seeing people jump out of wheelchairs, the blind see, the deaf hear, through my own hands, party girl turned preacher. I realized if God could use me, he can use anyone. And here I was traveling around in America, and I started realizing, wow, a lot of people don't realize that the kingdom is something that God said, pray like this, Lord, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And when does he say the kingdom is going to be on earth? He says the kingdom is at hand, right here, right now. We have access to everything that Jesus paid for. And so what I found fascinating is I would preach somewhere and people are like, you know, what really stood out for me was how instant the miracles are. I'm like, that's how Jesus did it. And I mean, when I go around traveling around the world, I mean, I have whether it's the prostitutes in Amsterdam and the brothels, or teenagers coming for a Mardi Gras or something crazy in Austria or Prague or France or Switzerland, you know, places that you say they don't really need Jesus, like they might be a little, you know, it's easy to preach the gospel in third world countries where people actually need Jesus, they have need a crutch. I'm talking about the rich and famous. I've met some of the richest people in the world. And guess what? We all have the desire for Jesus, but Jesus was exciting and he was filled with power. And in the book of Ephesians, it says that the Holy Spirit that he gave us, that he was carrying, is unprecedented. It's uncomparable to anything else on the earth. And so when you start seeing deaf ears pop open, you start seeing someone jump out of a wheelchair, start shouting, the mom gets out of a wheelchair, the daughter's blind eye pops open from birth. I mean, how can you not be excited? And what do we see in media? What do we see in the world? People are excited about the supernatural. That's why Harry Potter, I was just in the store today, I saw a freaking chocolate Harry Potter wand stick. And I was like, what? I was like, because people want the supernatural. They were born for it. And people will say, Lindy, and I don't know if my church is ready for this. I'm like, no, Pastor, maybe you're not ready. But actually, the word of God says that every single person has a desire for the kingdom of heaven in them. And so when we present that fillet steak, they want wow. it. And we just need to present wow. it for what it
well,
truly
Harriet,
is.
What? Is this kind of attitude going on in Rwanda? I know you live in America, but you still go back and forth and have people in Rwanda.
I think that there is a, when I was listening to everybody speaking, and I'm going to start to see what I see in the churches here, because I attend church as well. I think there is the absence of Holy Spirit in the churches.
Oh, absence of Holy Spirit?
There's an absence of Holy Spirit. And a lot of people, like you said, there's a lot of people who have been a Christian for years and years. And those are the people who are saying that I'm tired of being in this church. I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. They read the Bible. They know what happened, what is supposed to be happening in the church at the spiritual level. And they are not being fed spiritually. They don't see anything happening. They go to the church the same way they go back. There's not the church is not changing us. The church is not changing the congregation. People get tired of the routine of going to the church and doing the same over and over and over, and there is no change. There's no Holy Spirit. And there was one time I was sitting in my church, the church I go to, I'm not going to say the name, and I just sit and look at the altar and see the pastors and everybody. You can feel there is absence of the Holy Spirit. We are not being taught how to pray. We are not being taught how to fast and pray like we used to do in the time of Jesus Christ. Even today, it's like things have changed, that we have a way of worship today that is totally completely to what we know and how it's supposed to be according to the Bible. So that is the disconnection between us, you know, Christianity and the church. And,
Harriet, I've done a lot of work in Africa, been there a lot of times, and I would say that the people in Africa, as a general overall rule, are way more open to a spiritual life.
And you that's
know,
true.
Of course, we also know witchcraft is killing Africa, but they're still very open to the spiritual. And they're more open and more, I guess, in tune with their emotions, where maybe here in America, we're very cerebral, you know, about all of this.
And there's something that happened when you spend time and fast and pray. And I've seen it in a lot of African churches. They teach Christians how to fast and pray. Fast mm-hmm. and pray, and it's very big in our churches, in our families. And when you have that relationship with the God, miracles happens. You feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all of that is missing in a lot of churches in the Western countries.
I would add to that, you know, having traveled to nations and listened to Lindy talk about the nations and how easy you see the demonstration of the Spirit as well. Many nations, America has never been desperate. We've never been a nation that was desperate for anything. We had insurance.
Well,
we could go to
a doctor. Were in the Civil War?
That is right.
you know, we, but you understand what I'm saying? We've just never had need. We've always had what we want. So we made things intellectual.
Yeah. Yes.
And it our was about intellectual understanding compared mm-hmm. to you go to Brazil or you go to some of these places in Africa and, you know, places I've been, the people have no other means
option
to
yeah.
see God move on their behalf.
That's
and so
right.
what does God do? He moves on their behalf. And that's what's becoming so beautiful, I think, about America is we're getting desperate. We're starting to have a need like that's more than here. So we will be opened up and faith will rise and we're going to see greater demonstrations here as we pray and fast.
Yeah. And it has to do what people are listening to. The Bible says you'll only become as good as your teacher. And it says, as a man thinketh he is, so he is. And what are we listening to? When I came to America, I was absolutely stunned at the amount of pharmaceutical adverts that were playing all the time. Every single ad was, do you struggle with this? Do you struggle? There's this pull, there's this, there's that. And the problem is with the supernatural, especially when it comes to healing, you actually have to put your faith in God. But when people have so many, they have put so much mindset, they've got such a stronghold of the idolatry in the medical world. And that is a very sensitive topic. But the reality is I see so many Christians that instead of when they have a headache, they pray, they default to their God. No, instead they default to the God of medicine. And that's where there's a challenge, because it's not that God, at the end of the day, someone said to me, so do you not believe in doctors? I said, no, I believe in a God that loves his children. So his number one concern is to see someone happy and whole. He doesn't want to see anyone in pain and in suffering. You know, and if we can't tap into his supernatural power and get that, like, at the end of the day, he's not going to like, well, don't go do that because, you know, this and that and that, you should have believed in me. But when we can actually get back to God and his kingdom being the first teaching that our minds default to, that that's our identity, that's how we operate. We not operate in the flesh, but from the supernatural realm, pulling down the kingdom of heaven that Jesus paid for on the cross, then we're going to see supernatural miracles. Then you don't even think about where's that headache pull. You're like, Shandarabare, in Jesus' name be healed. And you're like, saving your time, saving your money. His name is Jesus. He paid it all on the cross already. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we got to get back to in America, especially.
You know, Darla, when you first started talking, you were talking about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I have a resource that could really help people. Darla and I have both read this really fabulous book called The Gospel of Kingdom by author Greg Hood. It's really fantastic at explaining a lot of this. And recently, one of our producers sat down for a conversation with Greg, and I want you to hear a clip from that. Can we go ahead and play that clip right now?
They're falling away from religion. They're dissatisfied with a structure or a form of godliness that has no power to it. Scripture says that the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. And people have not had power. We preached about healing and hadn't had any. We preached about blessing, we hadn't had any. We preached about how he changes our life and we backslide. We preach about all of these things in this religious structure that has had us held captive to fear of going to hell, and it's not work. And we're seeing this all over this nation and in some parts of the world. The rest of the world is not as bad as America with religion. And people in this nation are saying, I'm fed up with it. I'm walking away from this thing because it's not working in my life. Your generation, there's more not in church in your generation than any generation in history of Christendom. And this is the reason, because religion doesn't work. It doesn't provide what it promises. It can't deliver what it says it can deliver. Why? Because God's not obligated to manifest himself in any structure he didn't create. God didn't create religion. He created kingdom. He's going to manifest himself in kingdom, but he will not manifest himself in a religious structure.
Well, Darla, I bet there's plenty of people that heard that and went, say, what? I know you know, Greg. Help us, maybe that, especially that last part when he said, God's not obligated to do anything with religion. Why don't you speak to that?
Well, I have been in his, I will say, I will plug it for him. He has a university called Kingdom University that I started last year, and it is phenomenal. It is, it has been jaw-dropping because he is truly giving us revelation and understanding about things that we've always said, we've spoken, and we speak them, but we have no idea what it means. And that's
like, what do you mean? Like what?
As far as kingdom dynamics. I mean, Jesus came to bring a kingdom. And here's a beautiful illustration of this that just has just, it's blowing my mind. And every time I can give a little bit because I'm still trying to chew on the meat. And more than anything, kingdom is meat. And we have been drinking milk for centuries. And we are now coming into a place where there is no more time to do anything other than eat meat. And here's a good example. It talks about when Jesus talks about John the Baptist and said he was the greatest, but the least in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is greater than him. And we all nod our head and go, yeah, because we're in the kingdom. Yeah. Okay. But you're like, you know, I've had no perspective on that. Until recently, when I understood that John was the last of the kingdom of man. If you do this, you can do this. If you do this, you'll be blessed for this. If you do, there was rules, there was regulations. And we have still been living in that time where John was actually, what John was trying to do was make people different. So he was trying to help them be reformed. When Jesus came on the scene and said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist was because he had just ushered in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or the kingdom at hand. And now Jesus wasn't trying to make us different. He says you are a kind that is totally beyond what man, the kingdom of man was. We are a brand new creation. We are full of the power and the presence of God. That's why he was saying those that are part of the kingdom are greater than those that are of man. And when you look at the kingdom of man in Jesus's time, it was the Pharisees, it was the Sadducees, it was religion. And what was the only time that he got nasty? Jesus got nasty at the religious leaders that
he
were
did.
Politically. So I could eat on that for days. I mean, that's just cut little tiny pieces of meat because we really do not understand who we are as sons right. and daughters of the King of Kings in a kingdom that has the power and authority to change everything. And we have the power to defeat the enemy. He's already been defeated. But we walk in an old paradigm.
That's true. Wow. Well, I want to encourage everybody to get that book and learn more about it. We've got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to address the topic of the latest release from the CDC. They have actually issued an assessment tool for teachers to determine their level of commitment to teach the LGBTQ agenda. Can you even believe it? We'll be right back.
A government official give us permission to leave with the kids so we wouldn't be accused of child trafficking.
In the meantime, our houses were being looted. Everything was being looted.
It was the hotspot of rioting and destruction in America. It was two blocks away. When the world saw 5,000 people show up in the heart of Portland, something happened in the soul of the nation. God's flipping the script.
No, I didn't bring food for all these kids. I brought food for your family. I said, they are our family. I just remember John 6 and how Jesus took that little boy's lunch and just gave thanks to the Father. And I said to the kids, let's all sit down. We just started serving up these big plates and we didn't look in the pot. We just started serving the kids.
Our content is free and supported by viewer donation. We're glad you're here. Come on in. I hope you will consider sharing your story with the world.
Well, Welcome back. The CDC has just released a tool for teachers to determine their level of commitment to the LGBTQ agenda. The tool provided by the CDC has been posted to the agency's Twitter account as a guide to help teachers assess their commitment to LGBTQ inclusivity in the classroom. And so it gives them a self-assessment where they can kind of figure out where they are on that. Now, you know, today, I'm not really interested in getting into that whole LGBT kind of thing, but what I do want to talk about is our government's manipulation of our education system. Like, for example, I don't understand why the Center for Disease Control is getting involved in what's taught about social issues in school. So I know, Linda, you are very passionate about the school system. What do you think is going on?
I think just in that sense, you know, we're talking about how do we get the kingdom of God on the earth, right? How are we involved as a church? We've got to get more involved. And I'm like, while I'm watching the other side with their very clear anti-Christ agendas, that's really what it is. That's what the Bible said is going to happen in the last days, right? I was even reading about that this morning again in the Word of God. But it's like there's an anti-Christ spirit that at work that's opposite to God's spirit. And I'm watching them all work together with a massive worldwide agenda. They are actually discipling the nation right now. That's what they're doing. And it's like, okay, God, how do we take back the role? How do we take back that place? So, I mean, we're all heading to Austin. The legislation's kicking off, the session's kicking off, all these things are happening. And a bunch of Christians are heading out to pray and intercede. Why? Because we actually need to take back the territory. I think right now that's what we're seeing. We gave access to people that are running our country that do not have the best interest for the people. It's like King Solomon's wisdom when he said, here's, okay, whose baby is this? Let's kill the baby and share it. The one mom said, okay, yeah, let's do it. The other one they said, let's not. And you could tell the heart of the true mom by the one who is actually interested in that baby's life. And right now that's what we see in America. Who is killing, who's stealing and destroying? That is who's on the wrong side. And that's where we've got to take it back and bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven to establish what God wants here. And it definitely is an overreach of government. It's so out of line, out of order. As you said, Sandra, what are they even doing in the school system?
Yeah. So Darla, how do we take this whole bringing the kingdom of heaven? Because, you know, there's also that criticism now. Oh, the Christians want to be Christian nationalists and force everybody to be Christian. Well, I'm not interested in that. I don't know anybody that's interested in that because, you know, Jesus didn't force anybody to choose him. And as Christians, we're not trying to force everybody to be Christians. However, I do want to say that America was founded because people were seeking religious freedom to worship Jesus freely because they were persecuted. And at the same time, the church is crumbling, America's crumbling. So I see there's some kind of connection here
They're
somewhere.
They're forcing us.
So I know, right? So Darla, yeah. What's the answer? How do we bring the kingdom of heaven into our education system?
Well, I think for me, an overall picture that I keep hearing the Lord say is in the beginning, when Jesus was here, he sent out apostles. They didn't know what they were doing. They were unsure of what they were doing, but yet they had the power and the demonstration. And we and the kingdom is still advancing off of that. But here's the catch is, the kingdom is not of this earth. It is the way that Jesus said to pray was, our Father who art in heaven, how will it be thy name? Thy kingdom come. And what we tend to do, especially in this nation, is that in every sphere of influence, is we constantly look at what we can see. And what Jesus always did was he went up on a mountain and he sat with his Father and he came back down and he only did or he only said what his Father had told him to do. So where my heart is and what I believe God is doing through us and beginning to demonstrate is apostolic authority. of speaking forth from heaven and bringing it down to earth. Now, in that, we're using the buzzwords a lot of decree and declare. You know, it's the new buzzwords. If you declare it and decree it, we're going to have it. Well, there's declaring and decreeing that's wishful thinking. Like, you know, Peter didn't want, you know, he's like, no, Lord, that's not you. That's not like you. And he looked right at him and said, you know, Peter, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. There's this fine line, and God is rocking his people, and the ones that are coming after him and have a pure heart that is devoted to him, he is beginning to share his secrets. It's mysteries and it's secrets. And that's what I've seen in spiritual mapping over and over. It was about obedience to do the next thing that he said to do and only do what he asked me to do, but then to produce that. So what's going to happen is he's going to have administrators in schools. If he's going to rip the whole school department apart, the public system, and he's going to bring those ones that have an apostolic call on them, and he's going to have them begin to build school structures that everybody's going to want to be a part of because they prosper, or business solutions, innovation in business.
Come on, Darla.
He's going to have the movie. We already, you know, see the movie industry. We're seeing, you know, that come forth. So where I guess what I'm saying is I'm not worried about what I can see. I keep going back to him and saying, Lord, what is it of the unseen that I need to see so that I can declare and decree and see that brought forth, and those that have the backing of you behind them that are to build and to restore, that they come into their positions and they begin to do what is needed in all seven spheres of influence. So I'm not discouraged by it again. I'm excited, but I think again, we're in a place of such, you know, we're fragmented right now because it's like all the particles are out there because we're having to get rid of stuff, but we're also having stuff put within us and making us new, and he's renewing our minds. So we just have to understand, I think, that we're in transition and just do the next thing that he tells us to do. And we will have victory, but I'm just a big proponent of, we have got to understand what's in the unseen. And if we get so hooked into the seen, that's when we lose heart. You know, we can lose heart by what we can see. And he never said that what is seen will last forever. He said it's temporal. So I want to stay in the place that's eternal and watch him and help those around me come into that fullness of there's eternity inside of you because you're different. And you're a kind that's different, that you can bring a light that no one else can shine, that people will be drawn to, and we can see things be birthed that will change, you know.
Right.
I know.
So in the end, I know you're very passionate about the schools and all. What's been your involvement with the schools?
Well, you know, we've been going down to the Capitol and literally during the hearings, sitting in and interceding. And that's, Darla, was so fascinating because, you know, you see these things in the natural. And in this one situation, we're sitting there and they're pushing so hard for this CTR and it's this and it's that and the LGBTQ. And it's like you see these two teams fighting against one another in the session. And I just went and sat behind this one woman who I knew was trying to push this really, it's not good for the kids, you know? And I just started praying in tongues in the spirit, like right there quietly. She cannot hear me. I don't even think I let it out. I think I just prayed inside. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, praying. And the next thing, she's in one of these big leather chairs. She's like, she can't see me because I'm right behind her. She starts wiggling. They're actually busy in the midst of a fight, like getting votes to put something in. She's so moved and disturbed. She gets up. She walks out. Her mother, who's always there, walks out with her. The two of them are like kind of confiding. They come back in. They ask the security to come and ask me to move and sit somewhere else.
Oh my God.
That is the power
of the spirit. That's what I'm talking about.
That is when the kingdom of light comes and it moves the darkness.
Wow.
While she was out, They didn't have her vote to push their agenda forward.
Woo!
And
wow.
We got the victory.
Y'all. Wow.
So I started dreaming, and it really started, you know, it started a few years ago. I mean, I was preaching in different countries. It's revival meetings. It's Pakistan. It's this, that, and the other. And I got invited to speak at a school. The power of God hit that place so profoundly, I was shocked. I was like, God, what are you doing amongst the children? I'd never seen this before. It was like Azusa Street revival books or something. And
Where was that?
The first time I preached was in South Africa at a school.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, one time wonder. The next time was in Panama in Central America. The same thing happened where the Holy Spirit would come and kids were Catholic. They didn't even know about Holy Spirit power. They were falling over in the Spirit.
Wow.
I didn't touch anyone. I just started singing because I didn't want to upset the teachers. And then I would just explain to them, John 16:7, Jesus said that I will send you a gift when I leave. It's better for me to go to my Father. He will be the Holy Spirit. And that when the Spirit comes on, Acts says that we will receive power and boldness. So actually, if you're listening and you're like, man, I don't feel like I'm bold enough or I've got enough power, it's not a personality thing. It's a Holy Ghost thing. And even when I got saved, I was a closet Christian. I didn't tell anyone that I became a Christian because people just say, like, Lindy Ann, you were obviously that person. I was like, no, I had to, like, God, deliver me of fear. Break the fear of man of my life. I did self-deliverance. I went for deliverance. If I saw I wasn't walking like Jesus in an area, I was chipping away. I was fasting and praying. I love what Henry VIII said about that. Because that really is a big key to breakthrough in the spirit realm is fasting and prayer. That's why we see people like David Hogan having raised the dead. They have a lifestyle of fasting and they're doing the stuff that the Bible says we can do. We can do what Jesus did and even greater things. And so this dream that I had probably 4 or 5 years ago, I saw a principality go into the school. Long story short, literally they took children's sexual body parts, they removed it from their bodies with tools. This was before all these transgender, let's just mutilate our children came into play. God was already prophetically showing me that in the spirit. And I remember crying the next day, I said, God, why were they chopping up the children? They were chopping them to pieces and removing these body parts. I said, why were they chopping them up? What was up with that? And he said, because they're trying to abort the destinies of our children. Never, ever before have we seen suicide go through the roof like we have now. People are unhappy with who they are. There's no identity in our children. And what happens? They're trying to, okay, maybe if I color my hair, maybe if I cut off my boobs, maybe if I do this. The reality is that if you don't love yourself, if you don't know who you are and whose you are, no matter what you do, just like Darla was talking about the kingdom, the age of man, and now the age of the spirit, when we come into the revelation of that, we are already fully transformed. We are born again, made in the image of God. Like, I love that song by Sinash. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor because I know who I am. And that's the thing. Who's teaching our children that they know who they are, that they don't have to try and change who they are to find joy, peace, and righteousness, but knowing that when they find Christ, they find themselves, and we actually teach them the kingdom, not some rule of do this, maybe this, do that, maybe that. Then we get established in that place that I don't suddenly need to lose 50 pounds to be happy or suddenly need this to do that. Everything is just a bonus because we're already fulfilled in Christ.
So, Harriet?
Yes, I have something to say about this. Just to echo to what the previous speaker said about this topic, I think there is a gender, hidden gender from the highest level. There are people orchestrating this demonic agenda toward families. And what I have to say is we as the church, we need to know and to understand that we have the power. We have the power, and there is so much power in prayers. We can reverse the course of what is happening now toward our families, in schools, in churches, because we are, that's what the Bible tells us, we have the power. By praying, we can reverse what is happening. We need to be vocal. We need to be vocal, and we need to do it with a heart of serving our country, our families, because it is terrible and it's just destroying the family.
I would say, you know, on that with what Henrietta is saying is, I was given the opportunity to go to Argentina back with Ed Silvosa when the Argentinian revival was going on in the late 90s. And what we saw with the children, that there was an entire church that was actually run by children. They were having signs and wonders. They were bringing salvation. They were the ones that prayed over us. It was the most incredible display of the power of God. And what it showed me was that place of purity, that children are not given a junior Holy Spirit. And many times we think of them as having something less than us that have matured. If you want to call it maturing, in reality, Jesus said, it's the little children. Let them come unto me. These are the ones that the kingdom is made of. And it's really a reversal that we're in right now. And that this is why, you know, Psalms 8 talks about even the infants, Psalms 8:2 talks about it's the infants have the ability to destroy every principality and power.
Come on.
We don't have a concept on that. And that is what, again, this is that negative thing of what we're seeing manifest. But all we're really doing is seeing the enemy so afraid. I mean, if we look in our own lives, because we've been around long enough to have good stuff and bad stuff. I'm kind of down Lindy Ann's line a little bit, have some stuff that's not real pretty in the closet. But when you look at those places and you came into Christ and you began to let him rid you of things that strongholds that were in your life, you began to say yes to him every time. And the more that we said yes, the angrier the enemy got, to where now when I see manifestations coming at me or I see things coming against me, it's almost like I go, hallelujah, I'm doing something right. Because Jesus had even said that about persecution. He says, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, but he is never going to allow the destruction that's happening to the purity of children without having an army or the manifestation of his kingdom come forth and demonstrate. And some of these children that are going to be 5, 6, 4, 7, I mean, we're going to be the ones sitting there with our mouths hanging open at what God's doing through
right.
them
yeah.
and what yeah. is coming, because the kingdom is about to be exploded and they're
wow.
going to grab it. And that's going to be their foundation that they're going to build on. And because of their purity, they'll
yeah.
take it beyond, you
and
know,
it's not just
things
the children,
that we have never seen before.
It's not just a children thing. It's the revelation of being kings and priests as God has asked us to be. So it's not just about.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Children
yes.
are just one of the mountains, and look how exciting it is. But the reality is, it's
yeah.
like we have to take
wow.
every mountain and realize we are the kings and priests, and the lie that has been taught saying the church shouldn't be involved in politics. What a bunch of nonsense. Have you never
it
read
is.
The Bible? It's like people have
no.
in the last days will be bewitched and bewildered. And so
yeah.
that's really, we got to take back. That's what's exciting right now, because we actually
right.
see people, the Christians standing up saying, oh, wow, we've forsaken the wall. We got to get back on. And they're taking back positions of influence.
Now,
and I would
speaking
say,
of that,
yeah,
once this broadcast is over, we are heading to our capital. We are all in Texas right now. But, you know, across the country, tomorrow is the inauguration day of our new, you know, Congress, Senate, House, all that sort of things. And we are actually headed to Austin. And Harriet and I are going just to see what our other two friends here are doing. Darla, what are you going to be doing? And then, Lindy Ann, tell us what you're going to be doing in the Austin, Texas State Capitol
yes.
today.
Yes, the TXAPN, Texas Apostolic Prayer Network. work has been going to the Capitol since probably 2007. We usually have a room there when they're in legislation, and that's what they're getting. The legislature is about to be opened up again for this session. And we go once a week and pray. We have a room there. We just pray. But today we'll be going there, and what we'll be doing is we've invited our senators or representatives to come, and from 11 to 2, we'll be praying over them. And it is fantastic. I mean, we've had Ken Paxton, we've had, you know, I don't know a lot of them by name myself, but it is just an incredible time of, you know, just encouraging them and letting them know, hey, the church is here, or the kingdom is here, and we're praying for you. So
it's now, Lindy Ann, what are you going to be? I know you're leading worship. What all are you doing there?
Well, yeah, so there's different groups that are going to be here. I just heard about a church from Fort Worth that's booked the Rotunda from 4 to 6. And I'm going up with a group that just a bunch of intercessions as well. And they're praying from 6 through 7:30 p.m. So it looks like the whole day is just, I love it because none of these people knew about one another, but God orchestrated it all for all of us to be there because he wants to shift something. And so I'm going to be leading some of the prayer. I'm also going to be leading some of the worship. So that's really exciting. And I just want to say again, like, the power of prayer and the unity of the saints is, you know, it's unmatched, and people mustn't forget it. Know their authority. Like, Henriette, I mean, when you come from Africa, like, you have seen prayer. You have seen people, like she said, fast and pray. And it's like, you see the fruit of that, and you see powers and principalities falling. You see witches falling out of the sky. Right. And sometimes in America, it feels like we don't see everything that we do.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the spirit realm is real.
Wow.
And we are movers and shakers.
Wow.
We are
That's
the
awesome.
Kings and priests on the earth.
Harriet and I are going to go, and we're going to take a camera so we can take video of what goes on and share that with you next week. Now, what we're trying to do is we want to do this more often, where the four of us get together and discuss issues. And what I'd like to know is, I'd like to know if you, the audience, if you like this, if you would like to see more of this, if you'd like to see my friends back. If so, I hope you'll reach out and let me know. Here's my email. It's Sandra@HeartstonePictures.com, and I hope you'll reach out to me and give me some feedback. Let me know if you like this kind of forum or not. And if so, we'll continue with it. I had a lot of fun. Listen, Darla, Lindy Ann, Harriet, thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time, and I hope everyone else did too.
Thank you, Sandra.
See you next time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.